So our next speaker is Liz McGuire, who's the president and CEO of IPASS, which is an international organization that's dedicated to reducing unsafe abortion and enhancing the reproductive rights and choices of women around the world.
Good morning. It's a great pleasure to be here with all of you and an honor to share the platform with so many distinguished leaders in the area of women's reproductive health and rights. My organization, IPASS, focuses mainly on the more than 20 million unsafe abortions each year that cause nearly 67,000 deaths to women and more than 5 million injuries. We carry out our program in the broader context of supporting women's comprehensive reproductive health and rights, and we work with a wide range of partners to change laws and policies that we believe violate these rights. And in recent years, IPASS, I think many of you know Maria de Bruyn here, has sought to build bridges with a number of organizations directly involved in HIV, including the International Community of Women Living with HIV/AIDS. Thank you very much. These are the issues that I'd like to cover in the next few minutes. And then first, just taking a quick look at the unmet needs of HIV-positive women and wanted pregnancies. We know that more than 15 million women around the world have been infected with HIV, and each year about 1.8 million women become pregnant. And most of these pregnancies are wanted, and this is especially the case for young women, women who've had few or no children, who are taking antiretroviral drugs. And we know that pregnancy can be a very difficult matter for women. And in some countries, the vast majority of women still do not have access to HRVs or conditions to ensure either exclusive breast or replacement feeding. And women who become pregnant after knowing their HIV status are not always received with respect and empathy in the healthcare sector. And even today, the idea persists that HIV-positive women, as we've heard, should not be sexually active or have children. And we still hear of instances, as has been mentioned, in which HIV-positive women have been pressured to have abortions. And this is a clear violation of their human rights. Without question, women who are living with HIV and who desire motherhood should be acknowledged, accommodated, and accepted into making informed reproductive choices so that they can determine what is best in their circumstances. But the vigorous promotion of antenatal HIV testing and measures to prevent perinatal transmission has meant that most policies and programs focus only on women in their roles as mothers. And we know that HIV women who wish to avoid or end a pregnancy remain largely neglected. Whether women know their status or not, many do not have access to effective methods of contraception. And each year, there are an estimated several hundred thousand HIV-positive women seeking abortions. And the reasons for these are many. This next slide just shows the poignant words of one woman's perspective from India who is faced with an unplanned pregnancy. For HIV-positive women who have a miscarriage or who want to terminate a pregnancy, access to safe abortion-related care is too often simply not available. An unsafe abortion may pose a special risk for HIV-positive women who have already compromised immune systems. In some cases, HIV-positive women are denied legal abortions because healthcare providers do not want to treat HIV-positive people or are restrictive by laws and policies. Some women seek abortion care without knowing their HIV status beforehand. And unfortunately, most post-abortion care and abortion services fail to offer referral for HIV testing. And conversely, women in Kyrgyzstan are required to undergo a mandatory HIV screening before an abortion. Either situation denies choices to women. For HIV-positive women who do reach care, studies and anecdotal reports indicate that humiliation, stigmatization, discrimination, and other human rights violations are not uncommon. And as we've heard, that HIV-positive women in Africa are often pressured to agree to sterilization as a condition for having an abortion. The provision of abortion care may increase their risks if it does not take into account the special risks of infection and other psychosocial support needs. The World Health Organization is looking at all of these quality issues and has issued guidance on how these should be addressed. There are a wide range of policies and statements that do address the rights of all women to have access to safe and legal abortion, including the UN Human Rights Treaty monitoring bodies, World Health Organization, the 2003 African Union Protocol on Women's Rights, and the 2006 African Union's Regional Plan of Action for Sexual and Reproductive Health. UNAIDS and the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights adopted guidelines in 1998 on HIV and human rights that support HIV-positive women in both having and ending safely according to their needs. Also, more recently, in 2002, ICW and other AIDS-related advocates have adopted the Barcelona Bill of Rights. And this is a strong statement promoting sexual and reproductive rights, including access to safe abortion without coercion. And we do see a slowly increasing number of reproductive health experts and organizations who have begun advocating for the complete reproductive rights of women living with HIV/AIDS. But unfortunately, as you all know, we face powerful opposition. And funding requirements by some donors, especially the US government, have effectively silenced some NGOs from addressing issues of unsafe abortion and abortion care for women living with HIV. Much remains to be done if comprehensive reproductive health services for women living with HIV are to be achieved. So on the policy front, we must provide a more enabling environment for reproductive rights in relation to HIV/AIDS. And we must be able to normalize reproductive choice for women living with HIV. To begin with, we should guarantee that unwanted pregnancy and options for dealing with it are always included in the official program of international AIDS conferences. This means we must be prepared to re-examine the terminology we use, because language is powerful in shaping frameworks for action. We should not be afraid to say the A word, abortion. Even now, in reproductive rights discourse, this issue is often hidden or implied rather than explicit, seemingly in deference to those who still refuse to accept it as a vital part of reproductive health care. Advocates should offer a broad vision of comprehensive reproductive health care that includes not only the continuum of contraception, emergency contraception, post-abortion care, and abortion care, but also assisted conception for HIV discordant couples and help with adoption. At the country level, advocates should press ministries of health and justice to ensure that women living with HIV can terminate pregnancies for all legal indications, and encourage them to interpret health indications to include cases of HIV infection. However, it is preferable not to include HIV as an indication for abortion in actual laws in order to avoid any undue pressure on HIV-positive women to terminate pregnancies. Finally, advocates should press governments to implement WHO guidelines, which provide standards for the special counseling and clinical requirements for HIV-positive women seeking abortions. So at the beginning of my presentation, I drew attention to the vulnerable circumstances of many women who are HIV positive as they seek to make responsible reproductive choices. And really, as we sit here today, this is the time to build a movement to meet women's basic reproductive health needs, including safe pregnancy and safe abortion. Both are essential to save women's lives, to reduce costs to health systems, and to fulfill women's human rights. So I'd like to leave you with the clear principles stated by the 2006 global consultation organized by WHO with other partners. People living with HIV must be able to make non-coerced, autonomous, and fully informed decisions regarding their sexual and reproductive health, including their desire to have children, assisted reproduction and adoption, as well as decisions to terminate a pregnancy. So I ask all of you to join me in talking to others about these issues, in breaking the silence around the full reproductive rights of women living with HIV, and taking action. Millions of women are depending on us. Thank you.